Election Day, former President Donald Trump was in important North Carolina today criticizing Kamala Harris.
She's a mess. She's a cognitive mess, and nobody wants to talk about it, and we can't have four more years.
Republican Liz Cheney joined Harris on the campaign trail.
His own vice president, national security advisors, as chief of staff, the leading generals who served him, who've all said he's unfit.
The White House wants to know how Israel's retaliation plans for Iran became public. Spokeswoman Karine Jean-Pierre.
As the reports are out there and what we are hearing, certainly we are very concerned by them. They're being looked into. It's being investigated by the appropriate authorities.
Israel said it struck a Hezbollah compound in Lebanon today that held millions of dollars in cash and gold. Secretary of State Antony Blinken is on his way to the region. CBS News Brief, I'm Cammie McCormick.
Seth here, host of Over the Back Fence. We're on the air live every Saturday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m., taking your calls to buy or sell, talk local events, or whatever, only on WFHR.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Vice President Kamala Harris returns to Wisconsin today. She'll make an appearance with former Congresswoman Liz Cheney in Waukesha County. That's where Republican running mate J.D. Vance campaigned last night. In-person early voting starts in Wisconsin tomorrow.
We want people to vote in every single way that they can. We want every vote to count. We want get out there and vote. Vote by mail, vote absentee, vote early, vote on Election Day.
Democratic running mate Tim Walz and former President Barack Obama will be in Wisconsin tomorrow. Senator Tammy Baldwin and challenger Eric Hovde accused each other of dishonesty several times in their debate Friday night. Baldwin said more than a dozen independent fact-checkers found Hovde's made false campaign claims. Hovde accused all of Baldwin's campaign ads to be false, but offered no evidence. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Brittany Merlot. Medford police found the body of Martavius Watts in a search Friday night. According to police, they lowered the water level of Mill Pond to execute the search. At about 9:15 p.m., they found the body of Watts in the river. The police chief said they'll continue to investigate and bring further closure for the family. And Copper Peak officials have a goal of bringing the Olympics to the UP to break the world record in ski jumping. Long before it was a tourist attraction, Copper Peak, just outside of Ironwood, Michigan, hosted ski flying events. But due to regulations and changes to the sport in 1994, Copper Peak is no longer up to the standards of the International Ski Federation. With the help of a very passionate team, Copper Peak is set to become the world's largest ski jumping hill. It's a 180-meter ski jump, and in the Olympics, they jump on a 90-meter and a 120-meter hill, meaning Copper Peak is 50 meters longer. The complete project is estimated to cost $38 million, with $20 million raised so far. And that's what you need to know. I'm Brittany Merlot.
The Packers beat the Texans. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers with a dramatic last-minute drive on offense and a winning field goal from their new kicker, Brandon McManus, to win 24-22 over the Houston Texans. Packers quarterback Jordan Love.
Gives the team confidence. Just knowing that we got to get that ball to about that 30-yard line and that he's going to be able to make that kick is huge, and I think he came up big for us tonight.
Texans quarterback C.J. Stroud finished the day 10-21 with no touchdowns, a quarterback rating of just 58.8.
You know, a lot of things didn't go right offensively. We just really didn't get in the rhythm early. Thought we ran the ball really well, but just weren't clicking in a passing game.
College football, Wisconsin with a 23-3 win at Northwestern over the weekend. Badgers running back Tawie Walker unable to score despite rushing for 126 yards.
They held him out of the end zone, and we pride ourselves on giving him opportunities to get him in the end zone, but I still thought that the body blows that he provided, the body blows that offensive line provided, are what really happens in that second half.
That's Badgers head coach Luke Fickle. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
At Civic Media, we encourage active political engagement and remind listeners to think critically about political advertisements you may hear during this critical election year. Our stations are licensed by the FCC and are required to accept all ads for federal candidates. We also air state and local candidates, as well as paid ads from issue and PAC groups. Truth is rarely as simple as any political ad may claim. So again, we urge you to think critically about what you hear in the spirit of promoting authentic and respectful civic dialogue.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy and a low in the low 50s tonight. A mixture of sunshine and clouds, a chance of showers in the afternoon and evening tomorrow. Not as warm, high low 70s. Cooler for the rest of the week, highs only in the mid 50s Wednesday, mid 60s Thursday. Right now it's 80.
Midday Magazine, talk radio that speaks with you, not at you. Join the conversation 4 to 5 Monday through Friday as we discuss local issues, events, and more. We'll be here interviewing some of your favorite local people. And find the podcast at civicmedia.us. Midday Magazine, a dialogue like no other. Only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
The Todd Almaz Show.
Either Donald Trump or Kamala Harris is going to win this race. Don't be the person saying, I agree with Kamala Harris on 80%, but I was really ticked off about X, and I wanted to send her a message, so I didn't vote, or I voted for someone else. And then you get Trump, and people are going to say, you can't have a national abortion ban. They have to listen to us. We're the people. It'll be too late. Your vote is powerful. Do not waste it.
The Todd Almaz Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pat Kreitlow.
On Tuesday, our guest from Western Wisconsin Health tells us about the many changes in healthcare, especially rural healthcare, that require political leadership.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for the Todd Almaz Show.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Monday, October 21st, 2024. I have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. In part two today at 4:30, we're going to talk to some of the contestants and some of the crown wearers of Miss Wisconsin Rapids and Miss Wisconsin Rapids Teen. Looking forward to that. But right now, in studio, some of our favorite people. We have Sally Kistner, Executive Director of the Arts Council, with us. Sally, always good to see you.
Good to see you as well.
And we have with us our good friend Eric Brittenocker of the Performing Arts Center. Eric, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
And joining us on the phone lines, Eric Stabenow. How am I pronouncing that, Eric?
Yep, that's it, Eric Stabenow.
Yeah. All right, thank you so much. Eric is the music director of the Glenn Miller Orchestra, who's going to be coming to town just shortly. We're going to talk about the show, talk about Eric, get to know Eric a little bit, and dive into some other fun things. We'll even play a little bit of a sample of what you are going to be hearing coming up. But when it comes to that, and Eric, I'm going to put you on the spot. I mean, ask you questions first, sir. So we know we have a limited amount of time with you and everything. But if I could, I'd like to know how you got involved in this. What is your, if you will, origin story, Eric?
Yeah, sure. Well, I started playing the saxophone in grade school, like a lot of young musicians do through middle school and high school. And I always had an interest in jazz music and big band music. So eventually, I went on to study music in college as well. And a few years after graduating, I had a friend who was playing in the Glenn Miller Orchestra at that time, and he let me know about a tenor saxophone spot that was opening in the band. So I auditioned and sent in a few recordings and videos and things. And a few months later, I was touring with a group that was in the summer of 2017, and I've been on the band ever since.
That's a cool story. Did you grow up loving this type of music, loving jazz, loving the Glenn Miller Orchestra?
I did, yeah. I was always drawn to jazz music, swing music, big band music, all of that. And, of course, I was familiar with Glenn Miller and plenty of the other big bands of that day, Tommy Dorsey, Duke Ellington, Count Basie, and so forth. And I was aware that the Glenn Miller Orchestra was still touring, but I had no idea I'd have this kind of involvement at some point later on.
Man, we don't talk about Count Basie nearly enough. Any chance to mention that name? I appreciate that, Eric. That's really
Absolutely.
Interesting. And, you know, and it speaks to not only where you ended up, but really even picking up the tenor saxophone, I would think.
Yeah, it was kind of, I suppose, a natural fit for a saxophone player to be drawn to that kind of music. So it really was something I've always loved.
Eric, when it comes to this music, and I don't know necessarily the proper verb for this. I'm keeping it fresh, making it new. I'm curious of how you do that, you and your teammates, if you will, for the audience and for younger audience members.
Yeah, I think a big part of the Glenn Miller Orchestra shows is just the opportunity to see this music performed live. We're now performing music that's been around for 80 or more years. And I think the only exposure that folks would have to this stuff is listening to the old recordings of the original band from the 30s and 40s. So our goal is to provide a show that's just exciting for the audience members. And I think there's something for everyone. You'll see, you know, a 15-member band on stage, and there's some instrumentals and there's some vocals and a whole lot more in the show as well. So we just try to keep it exciting and keep it fun.
And now that's how you guys do that for the audience. What about for yourselves? You've been listening to this music for a long time, been playing this music for a long time as well. Even before you joined the band, I'm sure you were playing some Glenn Miller or some certain stuff. How do you keep it fresh and new for yourself as well?
Yeah, it's a good question, and that's a big part of it too, because this band is so busy. In a typical year, we might play as many as 200 shows or more in some years. So there's a lot of shows, and we're lucky that I think we all love this music. So hopefully we don't get tired of playing In the Mood and Moonlight Serenade and all that stuff. But I genuinely like this stuff, and I really enjoy it. So it's still something I love, and it certainly hasn't gotten dull or old for me.
Keeps you young. Doesn't it? It really does. I mean, you sound like a young guy anyway, but it seems like it keeps you young and invigorated, engaged still.
There's no doubt. Yeah, it's a special era of music, and there's a real excitement to it, especially performing this stuff live, because there's just not that much opportunity to play big band music or play swing music these days. So I don't take that for granted, certainly.
We're speaking with Eric Stabenow, music director of the Glenn Miller Orchestra, who's going to be coming to the Performing Arts Center next month in November. We'll tell you the details and dates on that in just a moment of where you can get tickets. Eric, what does it mean to continue a legacy like this? I make that reference about, you know, people knowing the music or being new to them, but I tested something out in one of my sketch comedy classes the other day. I was like, I want to see if the people know this music. You know, I got a bunch of 19, 20-year-olds here and stuff, and so I just did a sketch kind of like flirting with the tone, the beats of it, and I'm not a musical talented guy, so it probably wasn't fair of me to do this to them, but they like immediately knew right what I was talking about. Some of the students weren't able to name the band or the song or anything, but they knew the beat. They knew what I was referring to. This music is timeless. And with that, I would imagine comes a feeling of responsibility. What does it feel for you, for your team, to be able to perform this music, to keep this going?
Yeah, it's really an incredible legacy that this music and this band has in particular. You know, I've mentioned the 1930s and 40s. That's when Glenn Miller led his orchestra, and the band's been touring almost nonstop ever since. There's been a few short periods when the band's been off the road, but it's almost been 80 years nonstop, and it's amazing that folks still know this music and recognize this music and want to hear this stuff performed live. So there's, you know, I suppose a certain responsibility to pay tribute to the original band and perform this stuff as they may have. But I mentioned as well, you know, a big part of it is just keeping it entertaining and keeping it fun and providing a show that's enjoyable for the audience as well.
Eric, in my homework, I was doing a little homework on you and everything. And from what I saw, I don't know if you were or still are, you're also, along with all these responsibilities and playing and everything, you're an assistant road manager. Is that correct?
Yeah, that was a responsibility I had at one point. I've moved on from that at this stage. But yeah, you touched on something as well that, you know, this band tours so extensively that a lot of folks in the group have other responsibilities as well. I'm the music director. We have a tour manager, an assistant tour manager, and merchandise folks. And, you know, we all keep it in-house. We don't travel with, like, a tech crew or with, you know, stage hands. We really do all this stuff ourselves.
When it comes to that, the logistics of that, I'm always curious about. And one of the things that I love asking musicians that are touring is how you get a chance to rehearse and how often you get a chance to rehearse in the touring process. Do you guys, usually it's a fascinating question to me when you're talking about a couple of people, like there's three or four band members or something. We're talking about a whole orchestra here. How often do you guys get a chance to rehearse? Do you get a chance to rehearse?
Yeah, the answer is not too often. we don't rehearse very often. What we do have is a sound check prior to every show, and we usually schedule about an hour for that. So that gives us a chance to, you know, set the microphones and hear the auditorium that we're playing in. But if we need to rehearse something, that's the opportunity. And luckily, we are all familiar with this music and have played this stuff enough that the rehearsals, when needed, are pretty short, and we can get through things pretty quickly. But the answer is, yeah, we don't really get together to rehearse outside of a sound check, really at all.
Which I want the audience, when they're taking in this show, and we're going to give you a packed house over at the Performing Arts Center and make sure you get a good crowd, to take that into consideration when you're watching these amazing, talented musicians and their performance. There's so much that goes into this, and so much of it you're seeing happen organically. You're seeing happen right there on stage, which is only live entertainment can give you that. Especially with a band like the Glenn Miller Orchestra, this stuff is timeless. You can pull up a song on any computer or anything like that, but you can't get this. This you can only get real. There's no repeats in live music. This is a one time you can catch it out kind of thing and see some of what Eric and I are talking about here. Encourage you to do that. And when it comes to what the audience can expect, Eric, what kind of show? What are some of the things they can expect from this show when you guys come to town?
Yeah, sure. We've got about a two-hour show, and it includes all of Glenn Miller's biggest hits. He had a bunch of number one hits back in the 30s and 40s. So if some people recognize songs like Moonlight Serenade, In the Mood, Chattanooga Choo Choo, you'll hear all the big hits. But we also include just a lot of other music from the Glenn Miller songbook, and there's a lot of beautiful music, some great vocals. And you'll hear some instrumentals. You'll hear some vocals. We also have a vocal group with the band. And there's a bit of history. I emcee the show, so between songs, you'll get just a bit of background information and in the history of the music.
That's a cool a part of this. I noticed that when I was watching some of your footage on YouTube and your website, and I'll mention those I'll reference those in a second. You guys do a nice job of kind of giving some history with this too.
Yeah, I think that really puts the music in context because it is such a fascinating history and fascinating legacy. I think it hopefully enhances the audience experience and just gives them a little background on what we're doing on stage.
Eric, this has been great. Thank you so much for joining us today. Rest up. I hope you're doing well, and have a good run here leading up to this show. When you get here in November, we're going to make darn sure we got a good crowd for you over at the Performing Arts Center, okay?
I appreciate that. We're looking forward to it.
Thanks a lot for joining us, Eric. You have a great day.
Thank you. You too.
Eric Stabenow, music director of the Glenn Miller Orchestra, joining us right there. Greatly appreciate that. Right now, as we segue going into talking with Sally and Eric, we're going to play just a little bit of the Glenn Miller Orchestra for you right here. Just timeless. I cannot get enough of that music. I've got Chattanooga Choo Choo in my head. It's going to be there all day. It might be there all week. I'm not sure. Sally, Eric, just got a couple questions about the band coming to town here, the Glenn Miller Orchestra. When it comes to a performance like this, I know I ask you this every time you're in, Eric. What do you got to do different this time or some of those things? I don't know how many times I get to ask you that when there's an orchestra coming in. Do you know how big of how many members there are? And I'm not asking for a specific number, but for you and your team, do you guys have a ballpark idea of how much space you need and everything for this?
Well, he said 16 people, and the stage block kind of confirms that. You know, there's two horn sections, drums, bass, the grand piano will be out on stage. And a lot of things, you know, are kind of dictated by the size of the piano and then the drums next to that, and then you have a riser with horns. So, you know, it all comes together. We don't necessarily know how much space we need, but we kind of get things set generally where they need to be before the show or, you know, before the group arrives, but inevitably they always move things around. So, you know, we don't get too particular about making sure things are just right because oftentimes they move around just a little bit. So we kind of get things roughed in, if you will, and then, you know, we make the final adjustments when they get on stage.
Very interesting. Sally, how did it go behind the scenes bringing these guys to town, setting this up on the schedule?
I actually saw this group about 5 years ago. It was before COVID, so I actually wanted to get them in a little bit sooner than we ended up doing, but I'm really glad that we were able to do so. And like he said, all of the band members have other jobs. So one of the orchestra members, Joe Young, is the person that I worked with. He's in the group. Mm-hmm. And so I worked with him, got some tickets down in the Dells, and went down to see him, and the rest is history. We kept in contact.
I'm so glad you did, too. Yeah. It's a big get to be able to bring to the community, to be able to bring to town here. And it's also something you and I have talked about on air, off air, of it can never be easy to like, well, how do I find something that fits everybody, right. You know, especially when it comes to music. One of the things that we're so personal about, everybody's playlist is going to look different. So that can be a tough one. When you find an act like this, I could see why you're going to hang on to that one. Like, oh, I want to bring this one in for sure, because this really does touch on so many different genres. So many different people have grown up and loved this style of music. And there's so many younger people out there that have gotten into this style of music and really brought it back, which is really cool to see. When you see on TikTok people like playing these classic songs and everything, or even just modern artists kind of taking them and sampling them or modernizing them or whatever, it shows how timeless this stuff is.
Right. I was excited to work with DC Everest High School. They're bringing a group of about 45 students from there for this, cool. From their band. So I'm like, yes, it's definitely timeless music.
You do a fantastic job of the tie-ins, whether it is something like that or there is a class afterwards, a workshop afterwards sometimes. And certainly there is one of the go-tos in life, dinner and a show. It's one of the go-tos. It's one of the better right. combinations you could ask for. And you got a nice one with this, too.
We do. And you only have until this Thursday to reserve your spot. It's at Lake Air. The cost is $40 for the meal. You get your choice of three entrees, which you have to order when you get your tickets. Just a really nice event. And you know you're going to be done in time for the show because everybody's there for the same reason.
Right. That's a very good point, actually. A shout out to Lake Air for that. Wonderful place to go. Any chance you get. Wonderful place. You can't have a glass of water there and not have a good time. It's a wonderful place. It's also a nice thing for people to be able to go into and kind of... You're really actually taking care of your audience here in some ways.
Right.
We all know what it's like when you have plans and you want to get to them or whatever, but I ain't got time for this, or oh, I don't have time for dinner. You incorporate it in there and you know you're going to have an audience of full bellies,
right. Yeah,
which is nice. It's nice. Yep. It's one less thing to worry about. And it is a great way of tying in another local business. It is a local helping local. There is always that aspect of this that I just can't help but really admire and love whenever we get a chance to support each other. In
right.
these things. Mm-hmm. What about the details, Sally? What is this one? What are some of the details of this show?
Tickets for the show are $54 for adults, $10 for students. The show is at 7:30 on Thursday, November 7th. You can get tickets through the Arts Council's website, savorthearts.com, 24/7. Give us a call at 715-424-2787 or stop by and see us at 1040 8th Street South, Suite 101 in Wisconsin Rapids.
And as Sally said, make sure to get in, sign up for that dinner soon.
Right, by Thursday.
Mm-hmm. And Sally, people can also stop in if they want to over to the Arts Council to pick up tickets or to any of these things.
Yeah.
We'll give you those details before we wrap up as well. Always like to shout out our sponsors for these events. We can't do it without them. A big, big, big thank you to some wonderful organizations out there. I mean, and really a radio station that really stands out. They seem like really good people over there.
I'll start with them. Radio station WFHR is the sponsor.
Sounds
as
familiar.
Well as WSAW Channel 7, Mead Witter Foundation, Fay Printing, Herman Taylor Funeral Home, and Point and Plover Publication.
Eric, like myself, you work with a lot of younger people and have a chance to kind of sometimes, you know, I don't want to say get a vibe or get an idea, but you kind of have a little bit more understanding, I think, than some might when it comes to they like this, they like that, or what have you. And at the same time, not knowing any of that. All granted, nobody's testing you here or anything like that. But I'm curious with the students. With a band like this, do you encourage them to kind of check it, you know, hey, check out the show or something like that? Or just maybe even knowing it even in the process of you know, setting this up or getting in learning about it?
So, you know, I obviously I have technicians that I work with that are working the show and that help set the things up and that get to experience the show. You know, oftentimes, sometimes it can be five people, sometimes it can be six, sometimes it's a little bit fewer than that. A lot of things, you know, really are driven by the classroom instructor and their interest in the program and what's going on. And so I don't really have that connection in the classroom. Mm. Like, I help out with the theater tech stuff, but I don't have a curriculum like, you know, I'm not a licensed sure. teacher. But I've learned that I think a lot of, you know, student interest is driven by the instructor and saying and putting it in front of them and saying, we're going to do this as a group, you know, what have you. And so I don't have as much influence as perhaps I'd like to. However, you know, you mentioned it was said before that these band members also have different jobs aside from being the musician. You know, one's the marketing manager, one's the stage manager, mm-hmm. tour manager, etc. And I think it's really important that, you know, I'm teaching the music business because, you know, for every actor that's on stage, there's 10 people behind the scenes who are in all kinds of things, whether it's, you know, the costuming, makeup, and those are, you know, directly associated, but there's the lawyers, the attorneys, same thing, but, you know, the financial people, mm-hmm. You know, all of those sorts of things that tie into this. And then the technical expertise mm-hmm. in order to share, you know, this sort of thing with large audiences of people, because we can't do it acoustically. So you look at the broad scope of this, and it's not just music, it's sports entertainment, because you see this same kind of entertainment at sporting type events. So it's all interconnected and related. And so I think it's, you know, really providing the opportunity that this does for kids to be involved. And, you know, you can lead a horse to water, right? You can tell anybody anything about any of these events, but, you know, they have to be willing to walk through the door and experience it and have an open ear and open, you know, just be curious about music and like, what is this stuff from 100 years ago and what's it all about? And so I try, you know, to encourage kids to come. Yeah. But it's one of those things.
Eric can take a bad question and give a great answer. I love that. Thank you so much, man. Great answer. I appreciate that. And it's some great notes. Actually reminds me of some of the work that I do with teaching, just in how every student I have, every entertainer I have, I come in or I talk to, one of the first things I tell them, work backstage, get a job backstage. You know, being on stage is great. It feels really good and everything. You are going to be so much better of a performer on stage if you understand a little bit more of what they're working and how hard they're doing things backstage. It also brings up how many artists, while we see a lot of artists on the top of their game or the top level and everything, so many that are grinding and working at this wear multiple hats and have to spin multiple plates, and it kind of reminds us of that as well. Great stuff, Eric. Thank you for that.
Yeah, and I think the variety of things you can learn in theater and live production are, you know, you can't describe them. You learn all kinds of trades. You learn all kinds of things, working with your hands, being involved, creating problem solving. And it helps to, I don't know, build a mm-hmm. a workforce that is capable of doing a variety of different things and solving problems.
In the Mood, the Glenn Miller Orchestra coming to town November 7th, Thursday, November 7th at 7:30 to the Performing Arts Center right here in Wisconsin Rapids. Sally, can people get tickets again?
Give us a call, 715-424-2787. Stop by and see us at 1040 8th Street South in Wisconsin Rapids. Our office hours are Monday through Thursday, 10 to 2:30. Or your best bet is probably the website, savorthearts.com.
And if you'd like a preview, you can check out more of the Eric and the Gang at the GlennMillerOrchestra.com, GlennMillerOrchestra.com. And again, the website Sally mentioned there, SavorTheArts.com. Thank you so much for setting this up, Sally, and for a great half an hour. This was a lot of fun, you guys. Thank you.
Thank you. My pleasure.
We'll have more Midday Magazine coming up for you right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are locally grown radio.
The green and gold tailgating, the frozen tundra. Lambeau Field has a legacy all its own, including where to build it. Residents on both sides of Green Bay argued for it. Officials wanted property with room for growth. In the end, 50 acres of farmland was purchased, but the address, Ashwaubenon. More bargaining, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Now, do you know the other reason leaders considered this annexation so important? Parking, beer sales, keeping the Packers in Green Bay? The answer coming up. The Green Bay City Stadium project moved quickly from there, and in less than a year, opened with a Packers-Bears game. It became Lambeau Field in 1965, following the death of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau. So did you guess why the land annexation was so important? It's all three, keeping the team in the city, parking, and beer sales. Ashwaubenon was dry at the time. Officials believe Packers fans wanted to be able to buy beer and could in Green Bay. This history makes it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Locally grown radio, WFHR. Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on Locally Grown Radio, 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR.
Time to take a stand. Join Shirley's House of Hope for their 16th annual Iron Chef, Thursday, November 7th, 5:30 p.m. at Hotel Marshfield. Four area chefs will face off to benefit Shirley's House of Hope and the women and children healing from domestic abuse and addiction. There's also a silent and live auction. Iron Chef, Thursday, November 7th. Tickets and information at shirleyshouseofhope.org. Thank you to the team at WIRI and WFHR Radio for being an event sponsor.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The EPA is moving forward with plans to establish new federal carbon pollution standards for power plants after a U.S. Supreme Court ruling last week. Ashley Radzinski is with the Great Lakes Business Network. She says she's glad the work on the new rules continues uninterrupted.
This is not a looming crisis in the future. This is something that is here already. We're having much more impactful storms that are causing power outages across our states.
Opponents argue the EPA is overstepping its authority. Jolly Good Soda is officially the coolest thing made in Wisconsin. The Cryer Foods Soft Drinks Made in Random Lake is the winner of the Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce's annual contest. Jolly Good's been around since 1966 and was rebooted in 2013 as a craft soda brand. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Brittany Merlot. Frozen waffles sold at Publix, Target, Walmart, and other stores are recalled over a listeria risk. Treehouse Foods issued a voluntary recall on Friday. The Food and Drug Administration said in its recall alert that listeria is an organism that can cause serious and sometimes fatal infections in young children, frail or elderly people, and others with weakened immune systems. Treehouse Foods said the issue was discovered through routine testing at their manufacturing facility in Brantford, Ontario, Canada. And the Wisconsin Rapids Public Works Department will do their second fall yard waste and leaf collection the week of November 4th through the 8th. You'll need to place your yard waste and leaves in paper yard waste bags and place them on the curb. No plastic will be accepted. You also have to call the city garage to be placed on the list for pickup. That number is 715-421-8218. You can also sign up at wirapids.org. And that's what you need to know. I'm Brittany Merlot.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. The Apprentice, starring Sebastian Stan, has caused some controversy and generated the ire of Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump. Trump and his team tried to prevent the film from coming out altogether. Stan says that's hypocritical, as the candidate has been touting free speech. The Apprentice follows Trump in the early days of his business ventures. The film received good reviews and is currently in theaters. Remember when we used to order DVDs from Netflix through the mail, and there were times the company was struggling to survive? Those days are long gone. Netflix added 5 million users in the third quarter of this year alone. The company is projecting its earnings to be $43 billion in 2025. That's a growth of 11-13% according to Variety, and about $5 million more than last year. The streaming platform now has 282 million users. This must mean lower prices for subscribers, right? Hello? Is this mic on? For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy and a low in the low 50s tonight. A mixture of sunshine and clouds, a chance of showers in the afternoon and evening tomorrow. Not as warm, high low 70s. Cooler for the rest of the week, highs only in the mid-50s Wednesday, mid-60s Thursday. Right now it's 80.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Today's tip is, skip the extended warranties. Now, I've fallen for this one myself, but after a lot of research, I've figured out that there's a reason the Best Buys and the Apples of the world are so hot to sell these warranties. And it's not because they're going to save you money. These things, whether they're called an extended warranty or a service contract or a protection plan, they are often loaded up with fees and rules, and you will rarely actually need to use them. What I do instead, I have my own warranty fund. Every time I'm tempted by an extended warranty, I put the money I would spend on that into a savings account. I mean, you'd be surprised how fast all that adds up. And now I have money I can use to fix or replace any of my stuff if it does break, with no hidden fees or rules. For more Everyday Money tips, check out Work Money Media on YouTube or text MONEY, M-O-N-E-Y, to 88285.
Maggie Dawn.
Get out your notepaper and your pens and pencils, folks. I'm dropping all the voting tips and detailed logistics that you need to ensure that your vote counts this November 5th. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Friday, October 18th, 2024. Have your host, James, here. We're joined right now by our new good friend, Wisconsin Rapids Fire Marshal, Brennan Agin. Brennan, thank you so much for being here today.
Good morning, James. Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
I want to start off by saying journalistically, you know, integrity, it's always important with these conversations. I have none. I respect and appreciate our firefighters so darn much, and I was looking so forward to all week talking with you guys. For one, we don't get to talk to you nearly enough, and we don't get an opportunity to put a spotlight on our firefighters nearly enough. But of course, it's also October, which is Fire Prevention Month. Perfect time to be able to conversate and have you guys in. So thank you for the time, and thank you for what you and your team do for our community. We really deeply appreciate what you guys do. And with that, we're going to get into what you guys have been doing, where you've been bopping around for Fire Prevention Safety Month and some of these things. And we'll get into that in a moment, even some tips for you. But if you don't mind, Brennan, I'd like to get a day in the life of what it is to be a firefighter and touch on that a little bit, if you don't mind.
Yeah, certainly, James. So for our department, we are a career department. And our firefighters work a 48-96. So their day starts at 7 a.m. and they're there for 48 hours. And then they have 4 days off that 96 hours. So, you know, we our expectations of them and the tasks that they're dealt with in those 48 hours can differentiate tremendously, you know, depending on what the call is and things. And, you know, in those 48 hours, those guys have requirements by training that they need to do, you know, try to get out into the public and do some public relations if possible, those types of things. And then obviously our priority is 911 calls, right? Yeah. That is our job. And we don't know when that's going to happen, but we're always prepared for it. So our guys know coming into their 48 or our membership knows coming into the 48 what's expected of them, and they do a great job with that.
I appreciate that breakdown. Thank you. Thank you for that, Brennan. I hope that it for one, creates a little empathy for people out there, but also understanding that what the job takes. And maybe we can encourage some more people to be a part of our firefighters out there, wherever you're listening to us. One thing that you said, and I was talking with Brennan beforehand in our pregame here a little bit, I've always admired firefighters, have, as a young kid, always thought about doing that and really respected the task, the job, the work that it takes. But there are parts of this that I hadn't really thought much about, and you said that right there. And I don't know if I or even the listeners have ever really thought about what that is like for those 48 hours, and you don't know what is coming. And the mental task that is, and what that takes. And we have done a really good job in our society of talking about mental health nowadays. And I think now is where the real legwork comes in with that, where, okay, we're all cool talking about it now in a raised voice. Now what do we do? How do we actually fix this or make this situation better? Part of how we do that, I believe, in the studies that I've read have believed, understanding what others are going through and having some of that compassion and having more compassion in our society. And I don't know many jobs, and I don't know many of us that can relate to 48 hours. You don't know what's coming. You have to be prepared for everything and what that can be like on the human brain and the human soul and everything. That gives us an opportunity to kind of put ourselves in those shoes for a second.
Right. Yeah. And that's a great point. You know, you bring up the ideas of mental health, you know, and PTSD, and, you know, more and more studies are coming out. And then we're realizing that that saying things and speaking up, you know, it's not a weakness, right? It's actually a strength to be able to say, you know, maybe we need to look deeper into this. And our department just started last year. We call it a checkup from the neck up, where they meet. Yeah, they meet with a counselor and do a session with them, and it gives them the opportunity to maybe discuss some things that they've had in the past, you know, in their career or what they've seen. And our membership has welcomed it tremendously. We've seen some great things with it. And, you know, like you said, just having that empathy, you know, and people, you know, their thoughts. And, you know, we want to make sure that our employees, you know, obviously cancer is a high risk for firefighters, yeah, right? Yeah. But what we're also finding is it's not just cancer. It's the mental health aspect, mm-hmm, of this job as well. It's just as important as our physical ability to do this job.
Yeah, so well said.
Yeah, and it creates a more well-rounded employee too. You know, somebody, yeah, that can offer their services. We're not building up these emotions or these thoughts that they may have had. They can actually speak out about it, and it's a great thing that's coming forward with the science and helping the firefighters in their careers.
It's so encouraging to hear that, and it's no secret. You know, our departments around the country are having a hard time filling the gaps and getting enough people. And maybe these things are part of how we get to that. If anything, it won't hurt getting more good people into these jobs and doing this. Appreciate it. And the job is there's no pause button for that job. So I understand that stuff's going on over there. If you've got to go, let us know. Okay, that comes first.
Yep.
But I appreciate it. The time. This is all the more reason why we appreciate the time.
Right.
Those 48 hours, man. You're on the clock. You're on the clock.
Yep.
When it comes to that, actually, and I want to go shift right into Fire Prevention Month and some of the things that you guys have been able to do, getting into the community and you know, running into kids and going to schools and some of that. Now, can you let us know some of the activities that you guys have been up to?
Sure. Yeah. So Fire Prevention Week is usually the week of October 9th. Started back in 1922, and then it's gained ground ever since. And what we've offered, or what we do offer for Fire Prevention Week, is we go to the schools within the school district here. Our main targets are kindergartners and third graders to try to get out the fire prevention. Started early with the kindergartners. What we do is we take our gear in with us. We show them our gear, show them that we're not scary wearing all of our gear, how to be safe if something were to happen in their home, having a fire escape plan, you know, checking smoke detectors, things like that. Don't be hiding. You know, we're here to help you and to try to get that point across to those children. And then with the third graders, Wood County Fire Chiefs Association has a fire safety trailer, which is great. It goes around the entire county. We have it for that week of Fire Prevention Week, and we put the third graders through that trailer. On the one side of the trailer, it has a like a mock-up kitchen, and the other side is a mock-up or a pretend bedroom. And we talk about fire safety tips both in the kitchen and in the bedroom, you know, because those are our two areas, you know, we're more apt to have a fire. You know, for sure in a kitchen. You know, most fires are caused by kitchen, cooking fires. And then the bedroom part of it is, you know, most fires occur at night, typically. So when you're sleeping, right? And basically teaching those children how to get out of the home safely out of their beds. So it's been great for us. And, you know, between kindergartners and third graders, we reached out to 650 students this year. Yeah.
Wow.
and at, you know, our third graders get a little booklet, a fire safety booklet, that's offered through Community Safety Net, and numerous businesses within the community donated to have these books provided for those children. So we can't thank those businesses enough for providing those donations to get that fire safety message to those third graders.
Great.
And then our kindergartners, we give them fire helmets and then a little pencil pouch, you know, just as a token of, hey, thank you for listening to our topic, our fire safety, and hopefully they can take something away from it.
I ran into one of those kids, and they loved it. They were running around all day with it. And that kid, like many others, had something spark in them, no pun intended. But they had something inside. And I know what I'm talking about with this. As I was telling Brennan beforehand, you know, as much as the audience knows, I've rambled many times, that I've been an actor since I was a kid. But before that, I wanted to be a firefighter. And that was the gig to me that seemed like it touched on everything I wanted to do with my life. I wanted to do good work. I wanted to be able to help others and be there for others. that really got me on a lifelong love of not only appreciating our emergency workers and our firefighters specifically, but also understanding that this is a job that not everybody can do. And hopefully getting more and more people that can do the job interested in it. It certainly is something that, you know, when you're taking these things, yes, we want to spread the safety for, you know, and the understanding of how to be able to be safe, but also hopefully creating some maybe future firefighters. It's a great work that you guys are doing out there, and I appreciate that. So, Brennan, one of the other things we wanted to talk about today, about Fire Prevention Month, is certainly some tips and some things people can keep in mind when it comes to this. You touched on earlier that the majority of fires do happen in the kitchen, and there are other places too. When it comes to putting out smoke alarms, I think this is one of the first ones people wonder. A lot of places you move in and they already have one installed, but where you put your fire alarm is key to so much of this. So, to our audience, where is the best places to be putting those fire safety alarms?
Yeah, certainly. The best places to be putting smoke detectors and smoke alarms is each bedroom. In a hallway is a great spot. Every room in the house is ideal for smoke detectors, you know, your living rooms. Obviously, the bathrooms and the kitchens, they do make special smoke detectors. Otherwise, it sets off, you know, when you're just cooking, even just boiling water, sometimes it'll set those off. But yes, the ideal places is every bedroom and the hallways. In your basement, carbon monoxide detectors are just as important, especially with the winter season coming up here. Everybody's starting up their furnaces. Carbon monoxide detectors are just as important. But to get back to the smoke detectors, yes, bedrooms, hallways, your living areas are ideal spots for those.
It's a great note about the carbon monoxide detectors too, and testing these at least once a month is always a good idea too, making sure those batteries are fresh in there.
Yeah, definitely testing them, and we recommend every time daylight savings is to replace those batteries. You know, yes, check your smoke detectors monthly, but daylight savings times, you know, when next month here when we're falling back, that's a great time, a great reminder to replace those smoke detector batteries. And then again in the spring, when we spring ahead an hour, go ahead and replace that battery again. The nice thing is a lot of the new batteries or the new smoke detectors have a 10-year battery in them, which are sealed. So you don't have to remember to replace the battery. But, you know, we still recommend just monthly testing that smoke detector to make sure it's still working for you.
You just made my dad so happy. That's when he changes his, so he's going to feel so good about that. But it's a great, I didn't know that about the modern smoke detector. That's really cool. Really smart of them to do it that way.
It is. Yeah. And they're, you know, I think they, with the technology, they're finding that people weren't replacing those batteries like they should have. Yeah. So having that 10-year sealed battery really helps tremendously keep the people safe.
Yeah. Staying in the kitchen, a number of things can really help keeping the fire fire safety up and keeping these numbers down as far as the amount of fires we have. They mentioned that always unplugging countertop appliances. That's another good idea.
That's a great idea. Mm-hmm. Yep. Anytime you're doing any cooking in the kitchen, too, is making sure that you're staying in the kitchen with that cooking. You know, anytime you're doing on the stovetop or, you know, don't leave your residence with the oven going. Mm-hmm. Things like that can help, you know, if something were to happen, you know, you are readily right there to be able to kind of eliminate that issue that you're going to have.
As a side note, too, if they're unplugged, they're not sucking your electricity bill or anything. So, I mean, you know, it's a win-win right there for that.
That is right. Correct.
And while this may seem like a simple one, it's really important. And in so many stats that I'm seeing come down to people forgetting to turn their oven off or something, making sure that everything is off in the kitchen before you leave it or before you wrap up for however long you're going to be in there.
Yes, definitely. You know, and just staying in the kitchen while we're cooking is so important. It's vital.
That's a great note. Yeah. I'll say this, especially coming from an Italian household, we are so known for rambling and moving around the house and everything. That's a really good note. That's nice. A really good one. When it comes to the rest of the house, there are certainly other, you know, every other room has its fire dangers to them. But are there anything that stands out? Like, oh, this is one I see a lot of and people really could use to be more on point with this one. It's a tough question. You see a lot of houses up there.
You know, the kitchen is kind of the biggest one. The big thing is keeping things away from your furnaces, you know, your water heaters, especially if they're gas appliances, those combustibles away from there helps eliminate that fire danger in your house as well.
You know, if you are able to really lock down, okay, I know this room, I know the kitchen is safe, I know that I'm doing my job here. It certainly doesn't mean that it can't happen anywhere else, but it does take a little bit off your plate. It does take a little bit off of your mind and your, again, coming back to mental health, of feeling safer. And so much of this is about that, is feeling safe in your own home, feeling good about these things. When it comes to laying your head down at night, that's where the carbon monoxide and some of those other testers come in that are really good to be having up to date.
Yes, for sure. And another a slogan that the National Fire Protection Association, NFPA, they have a great website too. They offer materials to help keep you safe with fire and every other regard as far as it comes to fire prevention. But one of the slogans too is close before you doze. So making sure your bedroom door is closed before you fall asleep. That way if an incident were to occur in the middle of the night, it buys you time, right? We know that fires with the materials that are burning, they burn hotter, they burn faster. We have less time to get out of our homes with the new materials you know, things are made out of. And by closing that door, it buys you some time, right? It gives us the ability to hear that smoke detector and then find our way out. Have an escape plan, have two ways out of your home are great things, you know, and practicing these with children, you know, your grandchildren and everybody, having a family meeting place, you know, and just this is a great month to just practice those and kind of reiterates or
kind of go over them, you know, rehash them a little bit and make sure that they're fresh, especially with little kids. We all know what it's like when you're a little kid. You squirrel, you know, you get distracted real easy and everything. It's never bad to go over those. If I could, this is where I wanted to wrap up, was making an escape plan and making sure that you have that intact in your home. This is something every single home should do. Even if you live alone, it's something that you should have in your head. when I was a kid, we had a lot of stuff growing up happen and everything. And one of the things we went through was having a fire safety plan, you know, having a good escape plan. Well, thankfully, growing up, never had anything happen. Right. But as a grown adult, I was at my parents' house and a fire happened.
Sure.
And that same plan we had from like 11, 12 years ago or whatever, all of a sudden popped in. We talked about this months afterwards.
It stuck in your mind.
It stuck with us.
Sure.
And sure enough, we all felt safer about or afterwards talking about it. Like we felt you're never going to feel necessarily in control. But you felt a little more prepared for this as it was happening, because you were immediately brought back to, oh, I remember when my dad told me this, or I remember this thing or something. So even a decade later, that plan came into play.
Yeah.
So you just never know. And it's that break glass in case of needed kind of thing. Hopefully you never have to do it. This is the only time you ever do this plan. But if you want it in there just in case.
Yeah, definitely. Create that fire safety plan with your family members, or even if you're, like you said, if you live alone, just going through it, you know, having two ways out of your place of residency is great, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We're creatures of habit, right? We always do one way, right?
Yeah.
But having a backup plan is a great way to help save ourselves and keep ourselves safe. Having a meeting place is another wonderful thing once everybody gets out. That way, when the fire department shows up, everybody's in one area. We can go up to you and say, you know, is everybody out of the residence? Yep, everybody's out. We're all here. You know, that saves so much time for us, you know, and everybody's in one spot. It makes our job, knowing that everybody's out of the residence, everybody is safe, much easier.
Great note there. And just to piggyback on it, if you have animals, having something, including them in the plan is key to this.
Yes.
You're going to be worried about them in that moment, so you might as well include them in the plan.
Yes, please do.
If you have dogs or cats, having a leash near the door always is a great one. Or both of those exits, or at least one of those exits, is a great idea.
For sure.
And certainly with other animals, having a carrier or something like that nearby. These are a part of your family. family. You're going to care about them in these moments just as deeply. So having them a part of the plan isn't a bad idea either. And again, going over these plants, it doesn't have to be October. It doesn't have to be Fire Prevention Month to do this.
No.
And it doesn't have to be ultra, while it is serious, it doesn't have to be ultra serious. You can enjoy this with the kids. You can enjoy this with your family or just doing it yourself and everything. And again, coming back to the mental health part of this and such, hopefully you never need it, but having it in the back of your mind, in the front of your heart, is only going to help you going forward and help you feeling better about it.
Yeah, for sure. You know, and the kids, children enjoy doing these things.
Yeah,
you know?
They do. Yeah.
Having them draw out, you know, what they think is the appropriate way, and then maybe helping adjust that as needed, and then practicing it. You know, once you have it in place, like you said, James, like practice it, go through it, and it just builds that muscle memory. So if something, God forbid, something were to happen, you're ready for it.
That's a great note. Brennan, you killed it today. You did a great job, man. I really do appreciate it. Unfortunately, you did such a good job, you're going to have to come back. Oh. You're going to have to come back sometime, and not just in October. I want you guys on more on the air with us and everything. If people want to find out more, be able to reach out to our local fire department, is there a way to do that, Brennan?
There is, and you can, the city's website, Wisconsin Rapids, on a link there, you know, under the departments, our fire department website, we have things that we can offer you. You know, even calling the fire station to speak to myself regarding fire safety tips or anything of that nature. National Fire Protection Association, the NFPA website, offers, like I said, great resources for people, especially for fire prevention.
Yeah.
So, yeah, anytime you need, just give us a call. We'll gladly help you out any way we can.
Yeah, any questions or anything, there are no bad questions, anything like that, reach out to them, please ask. And certainly to anybody out there that is thinking about becoming a firefighter or learning more about that, please reach out and do. We always need more good people involved in this, volunteers and above. Brennan, stay safe out there. Say hi to the rest of the team for us. Thank you again for everything you do in the community, putting up with my questions, and joining us today. Thank you.
Thank you, James. I appreciate the time, and I welcome coming back again.
Looking forward to it. And looking forward to another week of Midday Magazine. We send a big thank you and shout out to our scheduler, Pam Hilke, doing the amazing work she does week in and week out. We appreciate you, Pam. Appreciate all you listeners out there. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll be back with more Midday Magazine here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are locally grown radio.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Will you dress up for Halloween, and what will you wear?
I'm not going to lie, I'm a lazy Halloweener.
A lazy Halloweener.
I just wore a football jersey and call it a day.
I have a prisoner costume, and it goes on over your other clothes, so I'll probably put that on when I take trick-or-treaters. I was never a huge Halloween guy to begin with. Never a huge Halloweener. A new phrase has been coined here tonight.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Christina Reynolds of Emily's List. Donald Trump had a quasi-town hall.
There were two questions, one on abortion and one on IVF. What he did was claim he just wanted the states to get to decide, and it is a lie. When they call it a national minimum standard, they are saying, we want the federal government to get to decide and not you.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, she is a candidate for State Senate District 18. Kristen Alfheim will be here. We'll wrap everything up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. I hope you'll join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
Minority Rule. The author is Ari Berman.
If you look back at Wisconsin history, it gave rise to Social Security and an unemployment insurance and collective bargaining. It really personified the idea that no matter what political party you were with, government should work for the common good. And Walker had a very different idea that government should work for this conservative elite instead.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Matt Nair on air.
Vice President and Director of Marketing for Versity, Gretchen Jameson, is with us.
When you donate blood, there's a couple of different products, if you will, that your blood can produce. There's whole blood. You can do platelets every 2 weeks. You can be a double red, which is what you do.
Yes. For me personally, whatever I can do to maximize my gift, as you say, is worth it.
So you can go to Versity.org and take a look at all the different ways to donate and give.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Sometimes as dads, I think we're too hard on ourselves. We get down on ourselves on not being able to, you know, we're the providers, but we also have to learn to take care of ourselves. Arapaho way, you got to pray for yourself as well as for everybody else, but never forget yourself. Self-love made me a better dad because I realized my worth.
Never stop being a dad. That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.